This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Six-pack time. Reminder, six-pack sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Come in and try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Go to goodfeet.com. With opening day tomorrow, it's our six-pack of bold predictions. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
I teased this during Bones TMI.
You teased a lot.
Yeah, I did.
You basically teased your whole six-pack.
Because Bones basically doing the six-pack in his TMI. So, alas.
In Bones' defense,
yeah.
He originally, the six-pack wasn't going to be there.
That's true. We'll blame Kevin Harlan.
Remember who stood up for you, Bones.
Yes.
Next time we do something where you have to grade.
Adley Rutschman, his
like
spring
this.
Is real, and it's spectacular. Adley Rutschman will set career full-season highs in both OPS and WAR this season.
We're basically simpatico. Adley Rutschman will be your MVO. He's going to bat at least 275. He's going to get on base at least 35% of the time. He's going to have an OPS of 850 or higher. He will probably get more MVP votes in the actual MVP, like not just MVO, but like MVP of the AL, than anyone, including Gunnar Henderson.
Number five.
My guy, Dean Kramer.
Mean Dean.
The conscience of the team, maybe the conscience of the town. Mean Dean will pitch more innings, have more wins, and have a lower ERA than Sagano.
Ooh. It's amazing the 180 he's done on Mean Dean.
It is. It's quite a case study, frankly. I'm going with the pitcher.
It's not just who he is as a pitcher. It's what he represents as a person and a leader.
Man, what you would call him.
Someone who speaks truth to power.
You want bold, Bone?
Give it to me.
Kate Povich, double-digit wins.
Whoa. All right. That's spicy.
Number four.
You want to continue being bold, Bone?
That's the segment.
Yeah. Heston Kerstad, 30 bombs.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
That's your four?
That's my four.
Yeah, that's. I want to hear
that's
the top
my four.
Three.
You should be writing a column about these guys somewhere.
Yeah, at least
I'll give them a run for their money.
I got a take.
Yeah, I know.
I got a take.
Right in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bone, my four. No one on this team will have 22 saves or more.
Huh. Oh, okay. Gosh, you guys are a little different here. Slight lean to Jason.
I'm not going to win this six.
Probably not.
Gonna win
probably not. But. Yeah, 30 bombs for Hess. That is bold. That's Chef Chill bold.
Hey,
I know something.
What? He understood the assignment.
Bone, I decided to bring it.
He understood the assignment. And I like Kate Povich double-digit wins.
And it's opening day tomorrow. Hope springs eternal. These are positive.
Orange Kool-Aid for everybody.
Yes, these are positive.
Except for me.
Yeah, these are positive.
I'm drinking black Kool-Aid.
Well, that's on brand. We're six-pack of bold predictions at Beltway Bend. Yeah. Let's continue.
Number three.
Ryan O'Hearn, Ryan Mountcastle, Cedric Mullins will all be dealt by the deadline.
Let me hear those again.
O'Hearn, Mountcastle, Mullins, all gone by the deadline.
Wow, you think that's going to happen?
That's his prediction.
Not should, but you think it's going to happen.
It's his bold prediction.
What do you think I'm doing?
What else am I implying? Kobe Mayo?
Yeah, I don't have him traded.
Yeah.
I like that one. You're Mr. 30 Bombs. I don't have him traded.
I like that one. I like it, but I'm saying...
I mean, I think it's going to happen because like they're going to have to start rebooting because it's not going to be the season they thought they were going to have.
See, I disagree.
And so you better trade him and get something for him?
Okay, all right. I understand your rationale now. I was going to say, expecting him to trade three major leaguers in season?
Then none of them have a future here.
No,
he's got to eventually... Do you want them all to be? You just want them all to walk?
I'm not saying that. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Comp picks. My three... Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six Orioles will have double-digit stolen bases. Gunner, ooh. Holiday, Westberg, Mateo, Kowser, and Mullins. We'll have 10 or more steals.
Like I said, I'm not winning this.
Number two.
Well, I tease this in your TMI, Bum.
Yes.
Jackson Holiday, 2020 season. 20 homers, 20 steals.
Man. Ken's bold.
Keegan Aiken, hero of stage and screen, one of the greatest characters in mass and broadcasting history. Keegan Aiken will finish in the top three in wins for the Baltimore Orioles.
Can we pause it? Not only Mean Dean, but Keegan Aiken.
Another turn.
This is not necessarily so much about Keegan Aiken. If you, again, take a minute.
I know what it's really saying. 365 days ago.
I didn't say he'd be great. He was awesome last year.
He was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He will finish in the top three in wins for this team.
Double digits?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. That's a spicy meatball.
Big Mike? 9, 10, 11.
Big Mike did it as a relief recently.
Yeah.
Number one.
The Orioles finish with 82 wins and play a one-game playoff with the Sacramento A's for the final wild card spot.
I have the Orioles finishing 87-75. They get the wild card finishing behind the Red Sox. But like last year, they do host the games. And, boom, they win a playoff game.
Yay!
That's a big W for the Ginger Gorilla.
Yeah, I need some orange Kool-Aid and some positivity.
Trying to keep it, Ken. Yeah, trying.
But I like the six double-digit steals.
Yeah, that's, you like that
six
one?
Guys
I thought that was, I was trying to like get, that was for Jason. Jason loves the go-go O's.
I hope it happens. I'm here for it.
Yeah, the go-go O's, six O's with 10 steals. Hey, coming up next. Terps getting ready to take on Florida. They've gotten a lot of pub the last few days, including Derek Queen on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. We will hear what Derek Queen had to say next here on The Fan.
Yeah, we're gonna have to play all four of our bigs for sure. I think they remind me a lot the way they run of Michigan State and how Michigan State brings four big guys in and just tries to wear you down. I think Florida does the same thing. They shoot the basketball much better than the Michigan State team does. I think it's the biggest difference. But we're going to have to play all four bigs. There's just no way Derek and Jew are going to be able to log 36 minutes against this team. They run consistently. They're fresh. They're as good as a basketball team as I've seen on film all year.
So that was Kevin Willard speaking in about an hour and a half ago or so, within the last 90 minutes, talking about the difficulties that Florida presents compared to Michigan State, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, a more athletic Michigan State, Michigan State's terrible shooting the three. I mean, Richardson's all right. I mean, he's good. He's not great. He's far from transcendent. This Florida team can light it up. They can score on you from two. They can score on you from three. They can beat you with pace. They're deep. They're athletic. They've got some dudes who can hit shots that you think are completely defended. So, yeah, I think it's different than Michigan State. And again, I've talked a lot about, and you probably can't get all three bigs on the court very often, or maybe not at all. But I they're going to need more from their bigs. They're going to need more from their guards. And I just wonder if there's a way to get even more creative with Derek Queen's usage.
Yeah, they're going to have to rebound a heck of a lot better than the Grand Canyon game to have a chance to win this one. And Florida,
it's not just the Grand Canyon game.
No,
it's been a while.
No, I know.
I mean, the Penn State game, the Villanova game, the
Wong was on board. Like
the Oregon game, the Washington game.
These guards need to stop leaking out quickly. They need to help out on the boards.
They're 98th in rebounding differential. Florida's 9th. So do the math.
Yeah. Well, let's get to that. Beltway Ben and Kevin Willard talking about the offensive rebounds.
We're not going to switch as much nearly as we have. The switching has really, I went back and watched our last three games. The switching has really hurt us tremendously. And I think we're going to try to switch a whole lot less than we have. You know, they remind me of Illinois in the fact that Illinois rebounds from the guard spot tremendously, big guards. You know, so try to switch and just really make it a factor. I think they score something crazy, like 32% of their points come off offensive rebounds. I've never seen anything like that in my life. It is an unbelievable stat. So as good as they are, as they shoot it, as good as they are in transition, you get a stop and then they punish you on the offensive glass. And I think that's why they're so good and they've had so much success, is that they beat you so many different ways.
So it's about switching.
I mean, you just try to do the numbers in your head. Like, I think defensively they're going to need DHS here, but he gives you so nothing offensively. And against a team this quality, it's not a 12 or a 13 seed. It's arguably the best team in the SEC, which is arguably the best basketball conference single season we've seen in maybe forever. Like, your four can't beat their five offensively. So, like, you could get away with that stuff against Central Valley, Grand State, whoever, the Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon, yeah.
Because your three could beat their five offensively. And you saw a lot of DHS for matchup purposes in that game. And you saw Celt Miguel foul trouble, but I think it was also matchup on the bench a lot in that game. You saw the next two nights later, Rodney Rice on the ball a lot. Like, I don't know that stuff's going to fly here because of how good Florida is, but I do wonder if there's stretches of this game where defensively you kind of need Geronimo and you kind of need DHS.
I think there's definitely going to be points to that. And Kevin Willard saying that they're going to play their bigs a lot more because you can't expect Julian and Derek Queen to play 37 minutes. They're going to need their A game to beat Florida. You're going to need to put up over 80 points to beat Florida, because that's what they do pretty much every single game. 29 of their 36 games, they've scored over 80 points.
Well, let's get to the coaching future portion of the press conference.
And, oh, boy.
Kevin Willard, he was asked, this is the one where he was asked about Mike Locksley's comments, by the way, Ben.
Kyle Goons, Baltimore Banner. Kevin, obviously, you've been very open the last week about trying to get greater NIL share, revenue share. I'm sure you saw Mike Locksley yesterday said he would prefer to keep some of these issues in-house. Why have you felt like kind of bringing this discussion in the open has been the best way to advocate for your program?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I think our biggest thing is we got to stop Clayton. He's really good. He shoots the basketball going left 48%. He shoots it right going at like 38%. So really the last couple of days, trying to come up with a game plan to stop, you know, Clayton, because I just think he's one of the best guards in the country that we've seen. And then really, you know, obviously trying to fix our rebounding woes have been at the top of my mind too. So. Yeah, it's a big problem.
Wow. So, I mean, you asked a question about Mike Locksley.
We've been pro-Willard through all this, but, like, he's aired it all out there. Yeah. It's hard to reel it back in now.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Would you like to hear another one?
Yes. Yeah.
Kevin Willard was asked if you've had more conversations with the athletic department.
Coach, you obviously went on the radio last night or yesterday and talked about kind of working with somebody in the athletic department. I just wanted to know if there were any updates that you had for us about it.
Yeah, we're playing Florida. We're playing Florida. It's a big matchup for us. Like, this is all about the Sweet 16 and these guys enjoying this as much as possible. I've enjoyed it tremendously.
I do love this town.
It's a great town, great food. Got to have dinner with PJ Carlissimo last night, which is, I think, always a lot of fun. You know, the stories we get to tell about Seton Hall, and Chris Mullen joined us. Coach Van Gundy joined us. We had a great time last night.
Wow. So athletic department question goes to dinner. Bet you they went to. Have you been to Seattle, Jason? I'm sure you have, haven't you?
Do you think he was allowed the expenses dinner? They might
have. Bet you they went to the Metropolitan Grill.
Hey, look, this is a long road trip, too. You're not originally budgeting to be on the road that long. You're hoping you don't go out west at all. Yeah. Then you go out west for 8 or 9 days. You think he had to pay out of his own pocket?
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I think they went to the Metropolitan Grill, and I think somebody took care of it.
Think PJ picked up the whole bill?
He may have. He has the old guard there. Chris Mullen might have picked up. Chris Mullen's
I mean, he doesn't have Damon Evans breathing down his neck anymore or those expense accounts.
I think Chris Mullen's got a couple ducats still
in
his wallet.
This might be the time to run it up, though, especially if he
is leaving. It's a good point.
Yeah.
You can order all the drinks and apps and desserts.
Make the next guy pay for it.
Again, I don't know that you can unbirth this baby now. Like, you can't pretend this isn't happening. You helped fuel the fire. Like, by you, I mean Willard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are going to ask you about it because you're going into this game and this is still very much unresolved.
Yes. So do you feel...
This is an interesting tack to take. I don't necessarily love it. I'm not saying he's got to give us another soliloquy like yesterday, but a simple, hey, I'm trying to focus on the game. I understand why you're asking that question. Me or my agent will provide you with an update at the appropriate time.
I am curious, the pulse of the Terps, Beltway. Ben, how do you feel about those answers?
Better or worse after the press?
Do the Terps have a pulse?
I feel the same. I still think he's gone. But the way that he went about it is coward-like. Well, all weekend you want to throw everything on the athletic department and everything like that, which, again, I supported because I think they need to fix it. But then today, you're asked a simple question. How's that gone? And you're going to... You can't see it. You can only hear it. But he, like, does everything he can not to smirk after the questions about Mike Loxley. Yeah. Like, dude, again, right now, to me, it feels like the athletic department is doing what they can to meet his requests, and he wants out. That's how I'm reading it. That's how I'm reading it now. We'll see. But I do think Friday morning, 11 a.m., we find out that Kevin Willard's on his way to Nova.
Coming up next, our friend Rita Hubbard.
Our poll might be a moot point.
Yeah. Rita Hubbard, her weekly chats now on Wednesdays. Get her thoughts.
The worst of both worlds.
About the Orioles, some Terps, maybe some Ravens. Rita joins us next.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here on The Fan. Tomorrow will be a huge day locally in sports as the Terps take on Florida. 7:30 tip, 6:30 pregame coverage right here on 105.7 Fan. It's also opening day in Major League Baseball and for the Orioles.
It's a Thursday?
They will be in Toronto. And it
you're
is
scoring at home?
It will be a Thursday, but today's a Wednesday.
We want to make sure you know.
Yeah. Time for our weekly chat with our friend Rita Hubbard, who joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Rita, are you getting the one-hand shot clock reset
it
going? It's baseball season is back. Are you fired up yet?
I think so, guys. I think I'm here.
Nice.
I think I made it. I think I finally made it to the point where I am excited that we are going to get baseball very, very soon, less than 24 hours. So, look, I know that we are all disappointed about what they didn't do in the off season, what they could have done, but all of that is water under the bridge. Now it's go time. So, I'm excited. Yes, that's a very long answer to your question, but I am excited.
Rita, we were playing a little real or fake during TMI about spring training stats. Adley Rutschman, really, really good in the first half of last year, really, really bad in the second half. He's been really good in spring training. Are you expecting to see more of the 2023 Adley Rutschman or the first half of last year Adley Rutschman in 25?
I'd like to think so. I mean, I think that we're still going back and forth on whether or not he was fully healthy at the end of last season. And until we see what he does now, I think it's a fair shake to give him a pass and say maybe he wasn't 100% in the second half of the season. So I do expect Adley to be back into the form that we were used to seeing him up until the second half of 2024. And like you said, he did have a really good spring training. So hopefully that can convert over to the regular season. And they're really going to need him because you don't have Gunnar. So he's the other guy that a lot of people look for on the squad to be productive. So I definitely think that he'll be up for the challenge to get back to his old form.
What gives you most pause about this team as presently constructed? Is it the state of the starting pitching? Is it the bullpen? Is it unsettled defense? Is it too many platoons? Is any of these things stand out for you?
I mean, pitching generally, right? You said starting or bullpen. I think it's a little bit of both, right? Because you don't really know how this is going to shake from a starting perspective. But then on the back end, it feels like that they're thin, and that bringing in Collinson, which, okay, they obviously need the arm. At some point, he's going to come in, but I think that I really feel like that's something that they could have done a better job of upgrading in the offseason like we all do. And I'm not even talking about the Corbin Burnes thing. Like, there were other guys that was available in free agency from a pitching perspective outside of Burnes that you probably could have went after, and it just doesn't feel that way. So, you know, now you're going to have a situation where you have to bring in Cade Povich as your five because Grayson is out, so you have to shift your roster around. Kittredge, you know.
He's slim, we don't know, Rita. Cade's gone.
We don't know.
Out with Cade. Slim.
He's slim now.
He's permanently slim.
Slim Povich, is that what we call him?
Well, it's working. Himself. You know what I mean? I think
himself.
I prefer slim to the old version. So we're going to ride slim around here.
All right. So slim is your five. Even though I like slim upside, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still going to be a transition for him because this is he was up and down last year. Well, now he's going to be more of a presence, whether it be starting or in the bullpen. And then you do have a depth issue because you brought in Kittredge and you can't use him.
Yeah.
So what is it that you're going to do? So for me, it's just the pitching all around. That's the part that I think is so important that Adley gets back into your in from your first question into the old form, because they're going to need this offense to come through and help them when they're in a bind. And I know we had these same thoughts last year and it ended up being the other way around.
Yeah.
But I think that this team is well more equipped, in my opinion, because it's the start of the season for them to be productive and to help the bullpen get back, coming back from injuries.
We're talking with Rita
Hubbard. Not the bullpen. Sorry, the pitching in general.
Yeah.
Ken.
No, you're good. Rita Hubbard, Inside Access here on The Fan. Rita, let's go to the Maryland game tomorrow night. And how are you feeling about this? And what about the Willard cloud that hangs over this whole thing?
I mean, I think it's unfortunate, and this is a part of, collegiate sports, right? And this is the part that has always been a thing, right? We want to sit here and talk about NIL. We want to sit here and talk about transfer portal. And I don't like the way that some of the portal was constructed. However, coaches been leaving for years, decades even. So this is nothing new. And it's unfortunate for these kids who are working hard to try to move forward in this competition, and they have to hear this stuff going on about Willard potentially leaving. That being said, I think that maybe that becomes some type of motivation for them, because we all know that Derek Queen is going to the NBA. He ain't staying down, especially if Willard is going to leave. So this is their chance to really make a run with the roster that they have. So are they up for the challenge against Florida, who got shooters? I think that they can compete for sure. Are they going to outshoot them? Well, it depends on if you let Clayton get hot or not. And I think that's going to be the thing. But I'm never going to, take the Terps out of this, because I do think that they have what it takes to move forward into the Elite Eight and pull an upset here. So maybe they can turn this Willard thing into some type of motivation. Hey, let's ride this to the end, coach, type situation, as opposed to being sad about it or allowing it to cloud what they have going on. And I'm hoping that it doesn't affect them come tomorrow night.
Well, let's ask you this hypothetical that we put out for a poll yesterday. Would you rather Maryland beats Florida tomorrow, but you lose Kevin Willard, or lose to Florida and you keep Kevin Willard?
We bring the heat. We bring the heat around here.
Hard choice.
We bring the heat.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That is hard.
Yeah.
Would you like me to hum the Jeopardy theme?
No, I'm always gonna go with the opportunity to try to win it all.
Okay.
That's why I'm gonna put my chips all in the try to win it all basket. All right. So if you ask me, If they can upset Florida, to me, that's their biggest, in my opinion, their biggest roadblock. So if they can beat Florida, in my opinion, they can beat anybody. So, yes. You know, if they get past Florida, I feel like it's potentially a smooth, easy breeze. And if Willard got to go, I mean, we used to that. People come and go. That's what they do. But if you can get a championship out of the deal, then I guess it was well worth it.
Yeah. My fear, obviously, is the worst of both worlds. Or they beat Florida, and then it comes out between then and the other game that he's leaving no matter what.
I know, right? I know. That's always going to be an issue, right? Like, and this, again, this is just where we are now. So now we can't worry about just coaches. We got to worry about kids, too. And so it sucks, particularly, you know, if you're a big fan of any of these teams. But I mean, these kids have been watching these coaches leave out on them for a long time. And so, you know, now they just get to turn the tables on them. But hopefully they can shut all the noise out. You know what I'm saying? Just allow yourselves to live in that moment, because this is a big moment for them. And I really hope that they can get past whatever the outside noise is and figure out a way to beat Florida.
Rita Hubbard, when are we, you and Glenn, coming on next week with the day off on Tuesday?
No, I think we're back on Tuesday.
That's what I mean. The Orioles are off, so you're back on Tuesday.
Oh yeah. So we're back on Tuesday.
Book club.
We have a new book club. So I will be watching that this weekend, and I will be ready to talk about it, friends.
Yeah. Sounds like Bone Overdrive might be DOA or RIP, but TMI is here forever. Rita, if you're scoring at home, so.
Oh, Lord.
Back for PBT.
Yeah. Rita, always great. Thank you.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Coming up next, Tomoyuki Sugano. He did not look good in his last spring training appearance. What are our expectations? What do we think we're going to see from Sugano early, and how long will they ride Sugano? We'll discuss next year on The Fan.
I thought he did great. Really can't wait to see what he does in Major League Baseball. I thought he looked really good. His velocity seems like it's in a good spot. The way, the confidence with which he transitioned to the Grapefruit League, you know, just being in the States, he's just fit right in. He seems like a natural here, and really happy that we have him.
That's Mike Elias talking about Tomoyuki Sugano. And before we have the Sugano conversation, a couple of notes, courtesy of the Beat guys up in Toronto. No Jorge Mateo locker. There is a Levon Soto locker. No Matt Bowman locker. But there is a Brian Baker locker. So even though they haven't made official announcement, it sounds like that's what the last couple roster spots look like.
So no surprises there. I mean, Jorge Mateo has not done a whole heck of a lot. It would have been really ambitious to try to ramp him up in a couple of days, a couple spring training games, and a couple of days extending the spring training, and then have him fly to Toronto and play baseball. So I don't know who'll be back first, him or Gunner, or maybe it's a tag team
together.
Who knows? But we knew Baker was making this team. He didn't have any options, and even though some of his outings lately have not been so good, he did enough that we knew. He's going to be here.
They can't quit him.
There's some Baker truthers in that front office.
One last moonwalk.
Oh, wouldn't that be
at least
great?
One more.
Strikes out a guy.
He gets to start the season against the team he hates the most.
Yes.
The Blue Jays.
Yeah. Dude, he ends an inning up there tomorrow. There might be a moonwalk. Now let's get to Sugano.
I don't want to tell them how to run their team, but I'd use them as an opener. I dare you to use them as an opener. Scratch everything. Use the Ginger Warrior as an opener.
Well, they already posted all those videos of Eflin being the opening day.
It's fine. Yeah. It's going to give him most of the run.
Got to be a finisher, though.
But you throw him off, Bone.
Yeah. Once you start, you got to finish. Tomoyuki Sugano. He had five
Baker's
appearances.
An intimidator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the redhead.
Yeah.
I've been told that my whole life.
No soul.
Five appearances in spring training. Four very good. The last one against the Yankees, not good.
No bueno.
So where are we on Sugano as the season starts now?
Well, look, they need him to be a major league caliber starter. I mean, he's the fourth highest paid guy on their team. He's 36 years old. He's been in professional baseball forever. He's not some Orioles discovery. He was a well-known commodity. They met his price point very early in this process when they weren't willing to meet many people's price points ever. So I think I look at him like I mean, if he's their number three or number four starter, then that's what I expect him to perform like. You know, are there going to be bumps in the road? Sure. I was waiting for him to get hit hard, and now we'll see how he responds to it. But that fastball is not going to fool anybody. And if it's a little too center cut, he's going to get tattooed. And he's got a very, very small window for error. And it's relentless over here, man. Like, it just is. It's relentless in
Streets
this division.
Are tough.
It's a lot. Look, they play a great brand of ball over there. It's not the major leagues. The lineups are not as deep. There's a lot more guys just looking to slap the ball and put it in play. It is the degree of damage is different, and the ballparks are different, and the way they juice the balls over here is different.
Different.
So, I you know, we'll see if they get third. Like, they think he's a $13 million pitcher. We'll see if he is.
But even with that bad outing, he's exceeded expectations in the spring, albeit the spring, because we've seen guys come over and it not be pretty. Now, is that going to translate into this weekend against Toronto? I don't know. He could get his brains beat in this weekend, but it's still not going to have me hammer the panic button. I'm going to give him a little runway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how, if it is a rough start, how you guys react.
Well, I'm not going to react.
I'm bracing for it.
I'm not reacting to one start.
Yeah,
like,
if it starts stacking, and
like
it's
if I'm at the end of April and he stinks,
exactly.
then that's a problem.
Yes.
Yep.
That's a problem. But I also think he seems to be, and I don't know him at all, but he seems to be a pretty savvy guy.
Oh no, I don't think it's going to be that. Like, I don't think it's that he's not going to try hard enough, or he's not going to be smart enough, or he doesn't know how to make adjustments. I don't know if the stuff is going to play.
Orioles start tomorrow, 3:00. Baltimore baseball tonight debuts on Friday. It's the Bone and Mike Bordick on Friday, when the big extravaganza opening day on Monday live at Pickles. Coming up next, one of our Baltimore baseball tonight crew members, it's Ryan Ripken.
Cut from the same cloth.
Yes. Are the Orioles fine? We're going to find out next here on The Fan.